In the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, I want to read the first 12 verses tonight. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive from the vine dressers some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant. At him, they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. Again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him, killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold of him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went away. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is a parable, but it's not a typical parable. In some ways, it's more of an allegory with every detail filled with meaning. And I want us to look tonight at God as we see him in this parable. First, it tells us of the generosity of God. Here, God is pictured as the owner of the vineyard. As such, he's provided everything needed to make the vine dressers, the cultivators, work as easy and profitable as possible. He had built a wall to mark the boundaries of the vineyard, to keep out robbers and to help keep out wild animals that would damage the vineyard. There was a wine press in which to press the juice out of the grapes. And beneath the wine press, there was a vat to receive and store the juice of the grapes. And there was a tower that had been built. In the tower, the wine could be stored, and there was a place for lodging for those who worked in the vineyard, and also a place from which to watch for those who might seek to rob the fruits of their labor at harvest time. Everything needed to make the work go well as possible and as plentiful fruit as possible was provided. This is a picture of the generosity of God. And if we'd only look around us, we'd see that God is generous to us in all of our life and the world he gives us to live in. Everything we need for life, profitable life, abundant life has been provided. There is no physical need of ours for which there has not been placed in nature more than adequate provision to supply that need. There is good and fertile and productive soil. There are plants of great variety and nutrition. You ever think about it? It could be that mealtime could be the most boring time of all if we only had maybe one vegetable and maybe one bite of meat. The same thing time after time. Now, I know some people sort of think they want that. I had a friend that said he had it in his wedding vows that his wife would fix him potatoes at least 3 meals a day. He grew up in Illinois, not in Alabama. I didn't ever know people ate potatoes for breakfast till I went in the Army, but this was the way. You know, he was set on that. He had to have potatoes at every meal, and when he visited our home, he thought, when are we supposed to have potatoes at every meal? And And she tried to accommodate him, but, you know, it would get awfully boring if you had to have the same thing over and over again. But we have been blessed with infinite variety to make mealtime not just a nutritious time, but an enjoyable time as well. There are resources for our comfort, for heating and cooling and housing and clothing. All of our physical needs are cared for in God's matchless plan. But we're made to be more than just animals with physical needs. We could have been in a world with drabness and no beauty, but we live in a world that has infinite variety and beauty. I get up pretty early every morning, and about a week or 10 days ago, whenever the moon was full, I got up and got out about 5:30 in the morning, and the moon was just beginning to reach the horizon going down, and it was awesome in all of its majesty and beauty. Never seen it any larger. And yesterday morning, as I was leaving the gym, coming home, the sun was just coming up in all of its beauty. The fall of the year, with all the variety and matchless beauty of the trees around us, and so many different creatures that add variety and beauty, it's everywhere. A variety of sights and sounds and smells to satisfy a deep longing within us. And there is love and laughter to bring us joy and happiness in our daily lives. God created us, male and female, and set us apart in families with the potential of being co-creators with Him. Can you think of anything more wonderful than that? Set apart in family, co-creator with God. Every home established according to His plan becomes a haven of blessing and a place of peace. Likewise, God created us with spiritual beings with the capacity to commune with Him at a deep level. He would have us to call Him Father. The writer of the first epistle of John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that He has called us the children of God." And now we are the children of God. I don't know what that does to you, but that's awesome, exciting to me. Think about it. You're God's child. No greater heritage could anyone have than that. And again, everything we need for life, abundant life, eternal life, God has provided. How generous is our God. We sing it sometimes, "All I have needed His hand hath provided. Great is His faithfulness." But this story also tells us of the trust of God. When the owner had provided all that was needed for the caretaker of the vineyard, he went away and left the people there to run the vineyard for themselves. They were equipped and instructed and trusted to do the job that needed to be done. And in like manner, God has given us all we need for life. He's given us a book of instructions as to how we should live our lives. He has given us freedom to run our lives much as we choose. And He trusts us to do His will. It's an old story that I'm sure you've heard before many times, but it still speaks of God's trust in each of us. The story is told of after the ascension of Jesus and He's going back to heaven, someone to ask Him about what plans He had made to work, to carry on His work on earth after He was gone. And He said He'd chosen some disciples and instructed the work to them. And He was asked, "But what if they fail? What other plans do you have?" And He said He had made no other plans. And so it is. He trusts us to tell the story. He to live the life and to do His will. Someone said the lovely thing about God is that He allows us to do much for ourselves. He allows us to do much for ourselves. God doesn't do everything for us. He allows us to do much for ourselves. He trusts us. But the story also tells us of the patience of God. Not once or twice, but many times, the master gave these vine dressers the chance to pay the debt they owed. As I read this story, it came to my mind, this person rather foolish, you know. He sends a servant and they mistreat him and send him away. He sends other servants and some they beat and some they kill. And then he sends his own son. I mean, doesn't make any sense at all to you. Put it in the context of our faith. But he treated these people with patience, much more than they deserved. It is obvious that the keepers of the vineyard had rejected their status as trustees and had come to think themselves as the owners of the vineyard. And so they said, we'll kill the heir and then we will be the owners. They thought the landlord was an absentee landlord that didn't know what was going on, and they could get away with whatever they wanted to. But how patient, even to a fault, the owner was with them. And how patient God is with us. He sent the various prophets. And you see the story here. That's why the religious leaders knew Jesus was talking about them. He sent Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and all the other prophets. And all of them they mistreated and abused. God has sent all the prophets. And ultimately, He sent His own dear Son. Jesus came to live among us and to give His life for us. And we have the choice to give Him what is rightfully His or to reject Him. We might sometimes drift into thinking that since God does not assert Himself in our daily affairs, that He's an absentee landlord. He's not with us. But God is never really absent from our lives. We can get so caught up in our possessions, our desires, what we want to do, that God is pushed into the background. Jesus warned us about the deceitfulness of riches and the fatal decay of the sense of stewardship and responsibility. We can become just like those vine dressers there. So we see here the generosity of God. We see that God trusts us to do His will. We see that God is patient beyond our deserving. But there is also here a picture of a limit even to the patience of God. We don't hear this. We don't like to hear it. But He said He would send. Well, He did it. He said, what shall He do? Look at it again. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers. A time when patience ran out. He will destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. This is true in life. It's true today. We might take advantage of the patience of God, of the grace of God, of the love of God. But in the end, there comes the judgment and the justice of God. God bears long with rebellion and disobedience. But sooner or later, He acts. The Scriptures tell us that he that continually hardens his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Someone has put it, as you've surely heard, that we either accept Jesus as our Savior or we stand before Him as our judge. And if we continually fail to live as He would have us to live, if we continually spurn our responsibilities, God's day of accounting will come. God will have the final word. His justice will prevail. So briefly here, we see the generosity of God. God has provided everything we need. We see here that God trusts us to do His will. He's given us everything we need, and He's given us a guidebook. And now He says, go live it out. Go live it out. Love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. Love one another as I've loved you. God trusts us to live it out. We see here God's patience. But even that has a limit. And we see the triumph, the ultimate justice of God. Thanks be to God. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You have provided everything that we need. Mercy new every morning. Grace and compassion that has no end. We just praise You, and we just pray that day by day by day by day we'd seek to live out our lives in ways that would be pleasing to You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.